Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Today on The Grave Talks, what happened in this cursed school? A conversation with Buddy Thayer. The field of the paranormal is full of conjecture. We're all searching for answers, but we tend to end up with far more questions. When one has an experience, it often leads to a greater passion for seeking that information. That's how it all started for Buddy Thayer. After having a life-changing experience at his workplace with the spirit of a former resident, he knew it was the start of a journey into the other side.
Well, the interest was kind of there at a younger age. I would watch shows like on TV, like Unsolved Mysteries or In Search Of, and I was always fascinated by the unexplained. You know, it always kind of fascinated me. I can remember as a kid, like my father we'd go on road trips and he would take me. My father was a big fan of history, as am I. And he would take me to places like Mount Vernon, Washington's home, or the Hermitage in Tennessee, where Andrew Jackson, 7th President of the United States, called his home, or Gettysburg Battlefield, stuff like that. And I can remember being probably as young as like 8 or 9 years old and feeling like a sensation in my body that I wouldn't really, at the time, I wouldn't have related to the paranormal, which I do now. But my first like real, I don't know, I could say when I was 16, I used to deliver pizza. Mm-hmm. And there was this old mill complex in Georgiaville, which is in Smithfield, Rhode Island. And the old Georgiaville mills. It was like three or four old building, old textile mill buildings, and they were set up in condos. They're all over Rhode Island. They're beautiful. Mm-hmm. But I would deliver the whole complex. I would deliver to. I didn't have a problem in any of these buildings. I walk in, I deliver the pizza, I interact or the food, I'd interact with the customer, and I'd leave. This one building, I walk in, every time I walked in there, I felt like I had to just run to whatever apartment I was going to and run the hell out of there as quickly as I could. Because it was just that overwhelming urge where you're being watched. At certain points, I thought I saw, like, figures in my peripheral. So I never liked going to that building. Then, like, when friends of mine, I had friends in high school that had similar interests, we started doing what's called like legend tripping, where we go out to certain locations around Rhode Island hoping to have an interaction. Never really had any interactions, but saw some pretty cool places like the Mercy Brown, the Lad School, what have you. There's a whole bunch in Rhode Island that we used to go out to. Never had experience there. So I was always like, from there, from that point, I kind of gained a little bit more skepticism on it. I wasn't sure where I stood. I mean, I always like thought it'd be possible, but I wasn't ever sure until I started working at human services and healthcare for 20 years now. This is going back to 2008. I had just gotten married, and I was working in this group home in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. It was a home that was built in about 1920, and it was probably about five bedrooms. There were five boys at the time that were living there. There would be between the ages of about five or six and 12 mm-hmm. years old. And I took the overnight position because that was the only I was working there per diem at the other. So I was working at other houses, but I wanted full time because I wanted to. I was just getting married, and I wanted health insurance for my wife. Mm-hmm. So I took the only full-time position. I'm like, oh, this would be great. I'm like, I'm doing school. I can do my schoolwork at night. I can get a lot of stuff done. It'd be awesome. It wasn't awesome at all. But not the paranormal side, but, you know, what you do to yourself just being up those kind of hours. But anyway, people would tell me ghost stories all the time. Oh, do you ever experience anything? This is what we experienced, like toy boxes, toys going off in like the basement. The TV would go on. People would see apparitions. They tell me all this. I'm like, don't tell me this. I don't want to hear any of this. This is like, I would excuse it, and I would get really skeptical on it all. And I'd say it was nonsense. I'm like, it's not real. It's just, you know, you're making it up in your own head. At that point, I was a complete skeptic. I didn't want to hear anything about ghosts at all. But after working there for about 3 months, I started getting those feelings again. Those, like, it's like almost like a pressure that starts like about mid chest, and then you can feel it. I can feel it usually the top of my neck into my back. It's just I don't know how else to describe it as just like a pressure.
Yeah,
I feel that. I feel like. Like overwhelmingly, like I was being watched. Mm-hmm. I was setting up. I set up in it was a kitchen dining room combination, and it had three bedrooms off of it. Each bedroom had a couple boys in each, and then it had a double, old style double power living room with a bedroom at the bottom of the stairs, and then up you go up the stairs, and it was the offices upstairs that were above the room that I was sitting in. In this kitchen, and then they had a downstairs, which was a playroom. Certain nights, the down in the playroom, everything's off. I do my rounds when I first took over the shift, you know. So I walk through the whole house. I make sure everything's locked, secured, windows, doors. Boys had alarms on their beds. I made sure everything was set up before the shift left. And TV would go on, mm-hmm. like 2 o'clock in the morning, loud as that TV could be. The TV would pop on. So mm-hmm. I go down there, feel really uncomfortable, turn the TV off, really uncomfortable, and almost run back up the stairs. Then it started where I was hearing, like, footsteps going up the stairs above my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd sit there and I'd listen to them. I'd be posted outside a bedroom. I'd be sitting there listening to them, and I'm like, that's got to be the kid in the front bedroom. So I'd grab the flashlight. I'd run into the living room. I go and I look in his bed. I look up the stairs. I look in his bedroom, which is like right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid would be in his bed, and he'd be sleeping. I sit there, and I look up the stairs. I go up the stairs. There were three offices up the top of those stairs, mm-hmm. up top of maybe like 10, 12 stairs, wooden. Open all three. All three were locked. There was nobody in any of those offices. Locked all the doors back up, and that sudden feeling just overcame me. You know, it was just that, like, oh my God, this is like, what is this? What
did you recognize that feeling when you had it again as that same feeling you had?
No, I didn't remember. I did remember, but I mean, I didn't relate it at
sure.
the time.
Okay.
Until like later on, until more recently.
Okay.
But so I go down the stairs, and then it was one night I had just come home from my honeymoon. It was August of 2008. It was probably August 29th, I think the date was exactly. It was a Monday going into a Tuesday. I had worked the Sunday night before, no problems. No, not even an inkling, not even like nothing weird happened. I walked in, and I had to sit in this kitchen living room. I do the meds, I do the like the for the next day, I do the laundry. I do the dishes and stuff, put the dishes away, set up for the morning. But, excuse me, there was this one bedroom that was right next to the bathroom in this living room. Not this living room, in this dining room kitchen area. And I had this post at that door because there were three boys in that bedroom, and one of the boys had sexualized issues. So they had to be monitored all the time. Mm-hmm. They had alarms on their bed. So anytime a kid even sat up out of bed, the alarm would go off. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to go in there and, you know, undo the alarm, make sure everything was okay, and reset the alarm. It wasn't that loud, but I mean, it was like, doo-doo, doo-doo.
Sure.
So it was loud enough to hear it. So that night I go in. I went in for 10. It was a 10 to 6 shift. About 11:30, I couldn't tell you why to this day, but I started crying, sobbing, emotionally like a wreck for like 15 minutes. I couldn't tell you why to this day, and I couldn't explain it then. I'm like, all right, and I cleared myself up. I'm like, I'm trying to like write it off as like, maybe like, you know, you're upset about your great aunt and uncle who just like, why would I cry about that? But like, I don't know, so I couldn't explain it. Later on that night, around, it was about 4:25 in the morning, I was putting some dishes away and from the dishwasher, and I heard the bed alarm going off behind me, and I turned around and I looked into the room, and I saw a figure coming out at me, and I thought it was this kid Russ. Was about that height. It was about 5'6". I'm about 6'4", so shorter than me, about 5'6". I saw the full silhouette, the shoulders, the head, arms swaying, moving, walking right out of that bedroom, walked right in front of me, and then like made like a 90 degree turn and like went into the living room and completely disappeared. I grabbed onto that countertop for dear life, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been so scared in my entire life as I was that night right there.
What?
I didn't move for about 30 minutes.
What is going through your mind when you see something like that? I mean, how are you processing that in that moment?
Honestly, initially it was shock. It was like, I didn't know what I had just seen, but then I sat there and I'm like, I saw a person just walk right out of this bedroom, walk in front of me, and disappear right in front of my eyes. Wow. So in that moment, I'm like, okay, everything that these people have been telling you is probably true, mm-hmm. or maybe a little exaggerated, but yeah, probably most of it is true.
Did you, prior to that, did you believe in the paranormal, that this stuff does exist? Like a lot of stories, are probably bullshit, but
right.
that it exists. What was
I
your...
thought it was a nice idea, you know?
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
I thought it was like, oh, that'd be nice. It would be a connection for like every world religion that there's an afterlife. That, mm-hmm. And here you go, right here. So, I was just like, I was flawed, and then it just from August 29th to about mid-November, it was every single night that I went in there and I worked, there was something that was happening. And it was, honestly, at first, it was frightful because I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to expect. I was, I had my shirt tugged on. I was touched. I walked through cold spots. I heard those phantom footsteps at least 3 or 4 times. TV was almost every night. a toy would go off in the middle of the kid's room. Kids would wake up saying that they saw a man standing above them, touching them. So then I felt uncomfortable, and I'm like, I told my wife, I'm like, I gotta meet with this woman and see if there's a way I can get out of third shift there. Maybe I can get another, go back to first, or, you know, I can go per diem again, whatever. I'll see what I, she's like, oh, you can't go per diem. You gotta stay full time. All right, I need the benefits. So I'm like, all right, let me. So I met with a clinician. She's a clinician. So she's a licensed, independently licensed therapist, mm-hmm. which is about as high as you can go for a therapist here in Rhode Island, other than being a doctor. And I sit down with her, and I'm like, hey, Carrie, I need to apply for a different position to see if I can get off a third shift. Is there something else open in one of the other houses? Or it's like, is everything all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm just not feeling it, you know? I tried to like play it off at first, like. She's like, there's nothing available. There's nothing open. She's like, there's something I can do. And I just stopped and I took a deep breath and I looked at her. I'm like, you're going to think I'm nuts. And I feel nuts talking and telling you this, and I told her what happened. And she's like, oh yeah. She's like, don't feel crazy. She's like, it's happened to me. She's like, I won't come in this house alone ever because of what happened to me. And I guess she had, she was bending over to pick something up off the floor, and someone whistled at her and said, hey, baby. Okay. And there was nobody in the house, and she ran out.
Yeah.
But she's like, everybody has experiences here. And she directed me towards another overnight that worked, this woman by the name of Lillian, who had thousands and thousands of experiences and worked there for about 10 to 15 years. So I went and talked to Lillian, and she told me it's a woman. She thinks the woman lived there. She had seen her going up the stairs, and when she was holding onto a rail, the rail of stairs is different than it was then. The rail was like lower, and she's like, she's holding onto the rail lower. Sometimes she has a cat. I would wear shorts. It would feel like there were flies, like or mosquitoes, like flying between my legs at times.
Yeah,
you know that sensation, and there was nothing there. So it was just like, okay, all this is starting to make a little bit more sense. She's like, you gotta talk to them. I'm like, what do you mean I gotta talk to them? She's like, in my head? She's like, well, in your head, you can say it out loud, but if they're bothering you, tell them, hey, you're bothering me, leave me alone. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I'm like, that's not real. She's like, it is. It's completely real. So being the fan of history that I am, I went to the Woonsocket town city hall.
Yeah.
And I looked into the history of the place, and the history had four owners. The owners that owned it then was Tanner Hill. It's now Devereaux, which is another group home agency. Mm-hmm. And before that, it was a couple that had a lot of parties there. They had a bar in the basement that they had to rip out when they bought the place. And they were still alive because I knew a woman that I worked with was friends with them. Mm-hmm. The couple before that had three boys. All three boys were living and well and in their 50s, and their parents were both alive in their 90s, but both living in a nursing home up in Cumberland. And the couple before that built the house in 1926. They were immigrants from Italy. They were the Piranunzis were their names. I can't remember their first names. They owned the house up until 1939, right at the end of the Depression, they foreclosed on their mortgage. They couldn't pay their mortgage. Something happened. I guess he fell out of work. He was a carpenter. Mm-hmm. And they lost the house. And they both of them died within like 2 years of that. And I went to their gravesite and, you know, just said a little prayer and said hello. Mm-hmm. And I went back to the house that night, and I went into work, and I waited till about, it was probably like 2:33 a.m. I made sure everybody was sleeping. I shut all the boys' doors. I shut the door to the living room. I was standing in the middle of that living room. I'm like, Mr. and Mrs. Piranunzi, I know this is your house. I know you love your house. Your house is beautiful. It was all this old original woodwork. It was just like the double polishes were like impressive. And I'm like, I'll do my best to take care of it, but I'm not here for you. I'm here for the safety of these boys. And I'm here to take care of them and make sure they have a good night. So please, I don't want to see you. Please leave me alone. And that's it. And then I went about the rest of my night. And I went in there again, and the next night, and nothing happened. And nothing happened for the next, like, 6 months that I worked there. And then I ended up taking another job on during the daytime at another facility. And but that thwarted me into the world. I'm an investigator now,
yeah,
because of what happened that night, you know?
That's so interesting. And it's a concept where the first time you hear this, well, just talk to them. Just reason with them. It sounds absurd. It's like, because in your mind, you're like, well, don't you need like to do this or that? Or, you know, well, you have this whole thing in your head of what you would need to do. But just sit down like, look, here's the deal. We can live at peace, but, you know, respectfully, you know, respect me. I'll respect you. It's exactly what you did. And that's sometimes some of the most effective ways of dealing with these things. Did you find it absurd at first? And then when you did it, how shocked were you that it worked?
Tony, I like I said, I've worked in mental health and human services for 20 years. I work in mental health now.
Yeah.
It sounds nuts. It still sounds nuts.
Yeah.
When I tell people to do it now, they think it's nuts.
Yeah.
But then it does. It works for almost everybody. You know, yeah. It's just it's some are a little bit, some need to add a little bit more or remind them a few more times that, hey, stop. I don't want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It definitely sounds crazy at first, but I think it's what definitely worked.
Sure.
And you got to remember you're talking to people. So you just
give
them that respect, and I guess that's all it takes.
Sure. Know? This is interesting. I mean, and I want to hear more about investigations and such and some more experiences that you've had. But with you working in mental health, that's a topic that comes up quite a bit on my shows. And, you know, obviously that's a very real thing. There's yes. many, many conditions that can cause one to think something or experience something. And it's all related to the brain.
Right, and it all can be very real for the person yes. that's having that experience. But
exactly.
In fact, it's not.
Yeah. Let me ask you this with your experience and all these years in the world of mental health. What can you speak to of individuals who are presenting with something that's going on? I view this in many different ways with the thousands of stories that we get. Many stories where it's like, okay, I think this is just straight up paranormal and, you know, it's not a mental health thing. But there's many where there's a combination going on. There's a mental health issue, but then on top of that, there's something else that is really darker, but the individual is getting dismissed all the time and just written off as, oh, it's this disorder, it's that disorder.
Right.
And they can't ever quite get out of the grips of whatever the hell that other thing is. In your opinion, is how often have you seen that sort of thing and what have your experiences been?
Yeah, I've been contacted by people and we've gone and met with them at a Dunkin' Donuts. And they were definitely not well. They told me about. I mean, they had all the conspiracy, like the frogmen, and the FBI is working with the aliens to control the population through drugs and prostitution. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then he's like, I got some evidence for you. I got all these hours of video and audio, and of course, there's nothing there. And I'm looking at watching the video. I'm like, okay, I'm looking at like a driveway. With a garage out of a window.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Do you see it? I'm like, what am I seeing here? And what am I looking at? I'm seeing this driveway. He's like, you don't see that? You don't see the man like disemboweling the other man? He's like, that's what I see all the time. Turns out, yeah, he did a stay at a place that I work at now, State Hospital in Massachusetts. And honestly, with... To speak on mental health and the paranormal, how to discern between the two of them, it's because, like, you know, people with schizophrenia do experience hallucinations and they see stuff that's not real and they hear stuff that's not real. I have a patient now who believes that he gets command hallucinations from he gets commands from the Lord himself, and he'll just, and that being, he'll come out of his room and run at another patient and assault them viciously.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little old man. He's probably in his 50s. He probably weighs like 150 pounds soaking wet. He does a whole exercise routine in his room and he sings like gospel songs in the early morning to the other, as loud as can be. he's mentally ill. He has schizophrenia.
Sure.
The difference between the way that you can tell, the way that I can tell, though, or maybe not tell, but I mean, one of my go-tos for the difference, somebody with a mental health disease is going to experience something like that all the time. It's going to be their reality. Whereas someone that is experiencing something paranormal, it's not all the time. Sometimes it's months. Sometimes it's years between activity. Sometimes it's days. Sometimes it's multiple things in a day. But it's never like the reality of life. That life is going on, and like the paranormal kind of dips its head in every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference for me.
Okay.
As an investigator, I have Ocean State Paranormal as my organization, and one of my team members is a licensed therapist, and she has her own practice in Warwick, Rhode Island, called Greenwood Psychotherapy and Wellness Center. So that's really good to have somebody on the team that's licensed and knows this stuff, as well as my own experience in the field.
Sure. And that's got to be an interesting thing of you know, being someone in that field, because that's something that I think most would be very, very hesitant to bring up. What have your experiences been? And maybe you can speak to some of what your colleagues' experiences have been when, you know, someone, you know, does speak out or comes to you and expresses, you know, there's something paranormal going on here. And, you know, but maybe there's some other things going on with the individual too, but there is truly something paranormal. Isn't the normal reaction going to be fear that, oh, if I say this to a medical professional, I'm going to get locked away or something of that nature? How does one, you know, actually, how is that handled in a medical setting if someone is saying something like that?
Yeah, I've had, like I said, I have the patient now who gets his commands from the Lord.
Yeah,
I've had other patients throughout the years that tell me that like they are the soldier in a war between the Lord and, mm-hmm. and the devil, and it's happening like inside their body. Mm-hmm. I had people tell me that they are like reincarnation, or they're actual saints or actual holy people throughout the years. Hyper religious is yeah. huge with mental illness, like schizophrenics.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that piece. I just kind of like, okay, I'll listen to them. Mm-hmm. Like I used to have this guy who was he believed he was working for the Palestinians to like assassinate the Israelis, but then he was a double agent for the Israelis doing the same thing to the Palestinians. And he could spin it, like listen to him talk.
Yeah.
Like an hour. It's like, oh my God, this is the way this man sees the world. That's insane.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just try and hear them. I just try and listen. And I try and guide them. Like people that are like clearly symptomatic, clearly having mm-hmm. mental health issues. I don't think it's the same as the paranormal. Like,
yeah,
I have where I work. I've had experiences. I don't tell a lot of people.
Yeah,
because it's where I work. But other people have told me their experiences. Not in the building that I work in. The building next to me, there's people have seen a black mist going up and down the hallways. In other buildings, people have seen a man walking out of one room and walking into another, and they you know, they're locked. The locked cells, so that wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I've heard my own name like whispered in my ear, and it was like dead calm. It was the morning; they were all locked in. Nobody else was. Third shift was kind of like getting their stuff together. I was just kind of standing. It was quiet, which is not often quiet there, and just kind of taking it in. I heard "buddy" right in my ear, and you know that kind of, that kind of stuff. I don't tell a lot of people that I work with. I just kind of keep it to myself unless sure. it comes up in conversation.
Have you ever suspected that someone, that a patient did have something, you know, attached to them that went beyond just the mental illness?
No, I don't. I do believe in science. And I do believe that most of these guys are where I'm at now and where I've been over the years. I work with a very acute population that are there because they are awaiting trial. Mm-hmm. They're waiting to prove that they're competent to stand trial. Sure. So they, a lot of them have, like, some of them have done atrocious things, but some of them, a lot of them are just like in the system and just like, you know, they go through and they do well and they get medicated and they're awesome and they're in great shape. And then they go on to better things and then they stop taking their meds and they cycle back through again. It's depressing to watch, but I don't think it's, I think they're all severely mentally ill.
Let me ask you this, in an environment like that, where there's a lot of negativity there and a lot of sadness and a lot of just all of that kind of balled up. Does that create an environment where paranormal activity will occur? Not because it's attached to somebody, but just because it's just kind of this condensed area, this battery of all this energy, you know, from someone who's mentally ill, from someone who's committed crimes and this and that, all there. What's your thoughts on that?
I couldn't necessarily speak where I'm at. I mean, like I said, there's been a few like incidents. I've had another experience in another building. I know people that have experiences there. I don't know. There is a lot of negativity there. It's just, it's not a pleasant place to be some of the time. There are some severely mentally ill patients. They have some really, it's like some of their symptoms, it's like a nightmare some days. I mean, it's good. So other days it's good. Other days you feel good about yourself when you leave. But some days I've seen men like do the worst things I couldn't imagine before I started working there. And people I talk to, they're like, oh my God, how could you stomach that? It's like, you got to do it. You know, you just got to put your head down and somebody's got to work with these people. And I'm back in school to be a nurse. I'm going to school to be a nurse to do mental health. But anyway, shit. I'm sorry. What was your original question? I went off on a tangent.
No,
negativity there, right?
Yeah,
so not there. There is activity, but I don't think it's centered around the activity there. However, there's a place in Rhode Island, or it used to be in Rhode Island. They tore it all down. It's called the Ladd School. It's in Exeter. It's part of it is they use the old gym for like the Job Corps, and the other side of it is like a fire academy, but it's all open land now. But it used to be it was opened as the home for the feeble minded in 1913 and by Dr. Joseph Ladd, and then it became known as the Ladd School in the 20s, and he got excused in the 40s. There was a lot of abuse cases there and a lot of malnutrition and mal-health care. And there was kids would go disappearing and then their bodies would end up in the woods. There's no investigations done. It's such an awful history. They finally closed the place down in the mid 80s. And for years after that, people would have experiences there. So as kids, that's one of the places we went legend tripping. You weren't supposed to go there, but
is this of course the, we went, we is, knew the is this the
crop, trails through the woods?
Is this the Cropsey place?
This isn't. No, it's. I don't know. It's. I'm sorry. Is it what?
There was a documentary in a place. Sounds very very similar.
It
to
might
this
be. Cult. It might be. Yeah. Yeah. It might be.
Okay. Called Cropsey. Was this a place that Geraldo did an investigation on?
No. No. It's in. It's. I don't think so. It closed in like. It closed for good in 93, but they were ordered to close in 85.
Okay.
I don't think there was any. No, I don't think there was any document. There was one like low budget documentary done a few years back, but it wasn't. It was just like on YouTube. It was called the Ladd School, LADD.
Okay.
And to this day, I mean, I went before they tore the last buildings down. A good friend of mine was able to get myself and another investigator in a few of the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some incredible EVPs in like 3 20-minute sessions. It was unbelievable. But they tore it all down. But to this day, like I get it when I'm driving, like the grounds are like a good quarter mile off the main road. And I drive up and down the main road. Every now and again, I'll go to a different brewery down that way. Or next door is the Veterans Cemetery where my grandparents are buried. Mm-hmm. So I go there. And when my wife was still alive a few years ago, we drove in there, and she was kind of she had some abilities. She didn't like advertise or do anything with them. She just kind of had experiences, and she wanted to punch me in the, she was a a loving woman. She was wasn't negative at all. She just couldn't. She's like, I got an urge. I just want to punch you in the face. Get us out of here. Wow. Now every time I go by there, I just get this like that feeling overcomes me, and I get this like extraordinarily like stay the hell away from that place feeling. I do want to do a documentary myself there this year. I'm trying to get something together, but it's just, it has that feel. Where Bridgewater does, where I work now, it doesn't. But that place, just the land, it's just, you could walk across this empty field. It's just got a nasty, nasty feeling about the place.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that location has such a negative energy to it?
I think all there was atrocities. They one guy that was there, that he was like 19 years old. He beat up a severely developmentally disabled 11-year-old boy and stuffed him in a laundry bag and tossed his dead body in the shower. You know, just shit like that that would happen. Another, like one of the kids that went missing, this Gary Heyman. He was going from the schoolroom. They lined up in the schoolroom. They were transitioning from the school building across the premises to where they lived. This kid went missing somewhere in transition. Mm-hmm. They did what they normally do. They closed down the school. They sounded the alarms. They went out and panned. They searched around the area. Nobody could find him. The National Guard got involved. The Rhode Island State Police got involved. They were panning that whole area around Exeter for about 2 or 3 months. At night, this kid's mother was going through the woods with a megaphone, screaming, "Gary, Gary!" It leaves me with like awful thoughts. This is 1956, I think, or 58.
Mm-hmm.
And months go by, and then in like the winter time, this kid is like going through the last school is surrounded by like three rivers, so it's like a swampy, marshy area around it. And this kid is going through like the edge of a cedar swamp, and he sees in a tree, hanging from a tree, a skull. Calls the cops. Cops come down. They cut down the skull. It ends up being the kid's skull. And then they close the case. There's nothing else that comes from it. It's like, all right, case solved. We found his body. That's it.
Like, but why is there a skull in the tree?
That's fucking crazy. Yeah. You would think that, oh my God, this is how would this skull get there?
Yes.
Who put it there? You know, the ball was totally dropped. A few years later, same thing happened. Kid ends up disappearing. Big search. They didn't find anything for that one. So that was like stuff like that. Stuff mm-hmm. like awful things like that. There was they would take them out. They would take out these their patients who were like severely like intellectually or developmentally or physically challenged. They'd line them up outside. They get the fire hose out and they would spray these people down with a fire hose. It's atrocities every day that would happen at this place, that I think the energy just created such a negativity that's mm-hmm. still in the ground. It's still there because it's all energy. That's what I believe. I think it's all energy.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Buddy. In part two, what does Buddy think the land where the lad's school once stood has so much energy? Why does it have so much energy and so much negative energy attached to it? What happened to the missing children on the ground of this disturbing institution? Can land that has been stained with such negative energy ever be cleansed? And is there a shelf life on the paranormal? We'll answer those questions and more in part two. To hear it, become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our show. Sign up to be one. Patreon.com/thegravetalks or go to thegravetalks.com and click Become a Gravekeeper. There you'll get access to hundreds of our episodes, every single one of them in their entirety, commercial free. And you get access to literally hundreds and hundreds of interviews to binge away on. Check it out, patreon.com/thegravetalks, or go to thegravetalks.com and click Become a Gravekeeper. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The new year means new health goals, not just for your body, but for your finances too. But did you know financial health is directly related to identity protection? You need LifeLock because your personal info is in endless places that are outside of your control. It only takes one mistake, and not even your mistake, to expose you to identity theft and lost funds. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your subscription money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft alone. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.